today on Real Radio.
You cannot get to heaven, the Bible says, by being a good person. No one gets there by that. There's only one good person. It's Jesus Christ. He's God Almighty who died on the cross for our sins. And the Bible says salvation is through him and him alone by you and I putting our faith in what he's done.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Lord Knows, Part 2, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for being with us today. You know, in these last few chapters, we're seeing Isaiah's persona as the evangelical prophet really held true with each passing verse. Many of his prophecies have already been fulfilled, like the coming of Jesus as the Messiah, but some have yet to pass, like when Christ returns to set up his new kingdom here on earth. In part 1 of Isaiah chapter 57, we learned that the Lord knows the future. He knows those who are his. But remember, there's no chance to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior after death. Neither is there any peace for those who remain lost in their sin. Still, he loves you, and he wants you to be with him in his eternal kingdom. That's the truth. His desire has always been to deliver you from the evil in this world. So today in chapter 57, Pastor Jack tells us that when we die, our spirit separates from our physical body. And when a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ dies, their spirit will be immediately ushered into the presence of the Lord. Boy, that sounds good. And now in his lesson called The Lord Knows, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 57. It's been a while for us. Isaiah chapter 57 tonight, turn it in your Bibles. And so we're looking at this message entitled, The Lord Knows. The Lord Knows. And of course, the entire theme, the book of Isaiah, is the fact that God is prophetic. You know it, that Isaiah is the most quoted Old Testament prophet in the Gospels, not to mention the entire New Testament. By far, hands down, Isaiah, which is why, by the way, you know that he's referred to as the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament. More of his prophecies and statements regarding the Messiah appear in the Gospels regarding the coming of Jesus Christ and the salvation that comes through Christ than any of the prophets. And so as we look at this, he now brings us to that portion where the section in Isaiah 57 now pushes an agenda of God toward the end, culminating on Isaiah chapter 66. We're now looking toward the end of God's prophetic utterance toward the nation Israel and many aspects regarding the culmination of the Messiah coming, second coming. And then the end of Isaiah will be a remarkable series of chapters on the millennium of what you and I are going to experience as a believer tonight, trusting that you look to Jesus as Lord and Savior. The millennium is an age in which we will be with Jesus, ruling and reigning on earth as he is the Messiah, the King, but we will be the bride of Christ returning. If you don't know much about that, then you need to study the Bible more and be excited about your future because it's quite remarkable. So as we look to this tonight, church, we pick it up. We looked in verses 1 and 2 of the chapter. We'll do it again tonight. The Lord knows, and we know this, that the Lord knows those who are his. It says in verses 1 and 2 that the righteous perish. Godly people die. God's people die. And no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away without no one considering the fact that the righteous are taken away from evil. You ever think about that? Verse 2, he shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. The fact of the matter that death for the believer is a release. We need to remember that God has given us his word to set us absolutely free from the grip and from the bondage of hell and of death. This is the heritage of the believers. And so Isaiah opens up by announcing a deep and awesome truth. And I want to give you some things tonight regarding life and death as a believer. life and death as a Christian. What happens when the Christian dies? Isaiah says that when the righteous die, now remember, church, in fact, we've looked at this on Sunday in the book of 1 Peter, you are declared righteous not by any acts of your own. Please remember that. You're not saved by your good works. You're not, listen, you are not tonight, you are not supposed to be kind of figuring out in your mind that all of your good deeds will probably outweigh your bad. And so when you die, the scale will tip and you'll be just sliding right into heaven. No, listen, you'll be completely lost if that's what you're thinking salvation is. You cannot get to heaven, the Bible says, by being a good person. No one gets there by that. There's only one good person. It's Jesus Christ. He's God Almighty who died on the cross for our sins. And the Bible says salvation is through him and him alone, by you and I putting our faith in what he's done. So when we are declared righteous, it's by the merits of Jesus. God in his theology takes what Jesus has done at the cross, and for any man or woman, boy or girl, who understands that Jesus died for their sins, knowing, by the way, for you to recognize Jesus died for your sins, you've got to accept the fact that you're a sinner. And when you receive him as your savior from your sins, and you trust that he died on the cross and rose again from the grave, that moment, a transformation takes place by one thing instantly, and that is God takes you out of the realm of being lost and places you in the reality of being saved. Church, listen, that may come with a feeling or not. It's completely irrelevant if you have a feeling. Oh my goodness, I just gave my heart to Christ. I can feel it. Some people can feel something. I don't know. I never did. Some people have told me the moment I said yes to Jesus, I felt like waves of very mild electricity or water flowing over me. Wow. That's great. Enjoy it while it's there, but it's not essential. It's not important. It's by faith, not feeling. Thank God. Say amen to that. Thank God it's by faith. Because if it was based on feeling, let me ask you this question. If it's based on feeling, when was the last time you felt saved? And what happens if you don't feel saved? Oh my goodness. Thank God it's this. No matter how you feel, if I were to ask you, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the dead? You know, no matter how you feel, the answer to that's yes. Your house could be burning down, literally. There could be an earthquake. There could be all kinds of things happening. That response, no matter how you feel, is firm and secure. Why? Because you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just tonight, you can ask yourself that question. Do I believe what he just said? If you do, listen, that is an unchanging truth of God's Holy Spirit in your life. So here's the deal. When you die, what happens? What happens when the believer dies? Well, I'm going to ask you to consider a few things, and I'm going to give you six things regarding this. The Christian, that is the follower of the Lord Jesus, listen, at the moment of their death, our death, we will be separated from this physical body. If we die before the rapture, listen, what's going to happen to me? Well, the first thing is you're going to be separated from your body. Your body stays here. We have to conduct a service. Your body will be here. You will not be here. Your friends will be here. Everybody will be here for you. The people you haven't seen in years, they'll come. And they'll be here. And your body will be here, but you will not be here. Just know that. The moment a believer dies, your spirit is separated from your body. And in this church, people die just about weekly. Sometimes it's multiple people dying here at this church weekly. Not at the church, but in the church weekly. Don't do that. But what's happening to them? Their spirit, in the moment of death, their physical body can no longer, listen, has no power, no ability, nor is it God's plan that their body contain their spirit. Inside of you is the born again you. Isn't that wild? There's somebody in you. It's the real you. I thought I just looked at myself in the mirror. Not you. That's not you. This is the apparatus that God has given you to articulate and to express the person that you are on the inside. You have no thing, no little fatty tissue that's near your spleen that is your personality. It's not there. Neither is the gray matter in your head, as we talked about before, has anything to do with your personality. The brain is not your personality. That is the spirit, the soul of who you are. The Bible says regarding this, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, Paul said, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." Isn't it amazing that he knew, number one, that his death was coming? God must have been speaking to him. Paul, you're going to die soon. Now, granted, he was in prison. He was condemned for preaching Christ in Rome. And he was going to die. He was going to be beheaded. And in fact, he was beheaded. But listen, Paul is knowing my departure's at hand. He's not saying his physical body's leaving. He's talking about his spirit's going to go. The real him. Think about that tonight. The moment of your death is your departure from this world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "For we know that if our earthly house," that's this body, this tent, "is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands," that is human hands, "eternal in the heavens." Isn't it awesome that Paul knew that? "For in this we groan earnestly." Did you know that? Your body, you know you groan. Those of you who are young, you're not groaning yet. You will groan. I took 4 Advil before I came tonight, so I wouldn't be groaning during my teaching. Right? My back hurts. If my back doesn't hurt, something else hurts. How many older people can relate to what I'm talking about? Okay. Not very many hands. I mean, there are some hands, not many. The rest of you, don't be disappointed. It's coming for you. You're going to hurt. The Bible says that we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. We've got a body. "If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked." It's amazing he knew that. Verse 4 says, "For we are in this tent groaning, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed," that is disembodied, "but further clothed," that is, look what he says, "that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." The Holy Spirit in you will see to it that the day that you die, or the day that the rapture happens, you'll be completely clothed with a whole new existence. That's good news. So listen, the Christian, the follower of Jesus, will be separated from his or her body at the moment of death. Secondly, the Christian will experience this. The fact of the matter that the Christian will, after dying, will immediately be ushered into the presence of the Lord. But watch this, it's kind of fun. The Bible tells us in Colossians 3, verse 1, "If then you were raised with Christ," that is believing, right now, those of you who are Christians, the Bible says, positionally, Christian, you've been raised with Christ. "Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God." Verse 2, "Set your mind on things above and not of things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." See, wait a minute. Jack, are you saying that I'm dead, but I'm going to die? Yes, listen. The old person of who you once were is dead. The moment you came to Christ, the old you died. That is the old person. And you were now given new life. Why? Because 2,000 years ago, Christ rose from the dead. And what God does, the moment you come to faith in Christ, is that life is now given to you. The old you is gone. You're dead, the old you. The new you lives. And that's the new you that is going to go to be with Christ. So listen, positionally, the old nature of who we once were is dead. You're all dead tonight if you're a Christian, to yourself, to your old life. But you are so alive now in Jesus that what happens is you go to him, the real you goes to him, but the fact of the matter is we can never die now, even right now. Say, "Jack, wait a minute, you're really confusing me." The truth is you can never die. The moment you came to Christ, when was that for you? For me, it was almost 41 years ago. The moment I came to Christ, That moment, according to the Bible theologically, I will never die from that moment on. Did you know that? You say, wait a minute, I thought you said my body would die. And that'd be, yeah, your body dies, but again, the real you doesn't die. We get so fixated on our flesh. This is not us. That the Bible says so much that the person that you are now in Jesus will truly never die. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6, it says that, so we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith. That's what we're all doing right now. We're walking by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, and well-pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. It's awesome that Paul knew that. In our bodies, we've got to walk by faith. The moment you and I die in the body, we are at home with the Lord. So the choice tonight is this. Do we walk by this flesh? Do we live by this flesh? Isaiah says no. Jesus says no. The Bible says no. We do not walk by this flesh. That flesh of ours died. But we walk by the Spirit, the pursuit of God, the love of God's people, the love of God's word, the love of God's will in our lives. All of that is a testimony, is evidence that you and I have a new life. And that new life from the moment you came to Christ will never die. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Do you see that? Do you hear that? For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. The Christian lives. Number three, the Christian, the follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, enters into eternity and into the presence of God the moment you die. The moment you die, you enter into the presence of God. Now, this is a long stretch of verses here, but you love them. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, God knew it all in advance, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn or the preeminent one among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also glorified. Whom he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now watch this. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? People are going to, but it's not going to stick. It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who is also makes atonement or intercession, I should say, for us? Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Watch this, verse 38. For I am persuaded, says Paul, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. Is this a mouthpiece? Isn't this huge? Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Death cannot affect you. The believer is absolutely liberated from the tyranny of death. For us, death opens up a door. Jesus broke the grave. Fourth, the Christian follower, the lover of Jesus, will stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, That's a good thing, church. That's not the great white throne judgment of Revelation chapter 20. Don't worry about that judgment. That's where all the condemned who are without Christ stand before God. Revelation 20, verse 11. The books are open and the names of those not found in the book of life are judged. They're lost. Thank God that's not you. You and I as believers will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says this, 2 Corinthians 5:9, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, that is in this world or gone, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, here and now, our world that you and I live in, according to what he, us, you, has done, whether good or bad. Whatever we did for Christ, good motive, bad motive, it's all going to be judged by the Lord Jesus. Nobody at the judgment seat of Christ loses their salvation. Nobody gets booted out of heaven. There's not a trap door that you fall through. It's where Christ evaluates our life of faithfulness to him as the opportunity he gave us in life to live. That's why all of us who are believers, we should be doing everything possible to follow the will of God, because God's will for us is the best possible thing for you. God wants you, like any good parent, God wants you to graduate on that day with honors. He's for you. He's not against you. Listen, the judgment seat of Christ Jesus is not going to be going like this. Just, oh man, boy, you know, Gabriel, Michael, are they going to get it? Now watch this one. Here comes Jack. Oh my goodness. No, he's for us. He wants it to go well. And so for the believer, your purpose in life, I don't care who you are, I don't care what you've gone through, I don't care what you're struggling with, God's purpose for you in this life, according to God's definition of the word awesome, is truly awesome for you. I don't know what that is for you. I've got to pursue God for what he's put before me. But I know this, that God's plan for my life, for your life, is truly awesome according to his perfect will. And in life, you and I are to be living that way in life. Oh God, speak to me, show me, lead me, guide me. Because God wants you to stand before the judgment seat of his son, Jesus, and for it to go well. Number five, the follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christian, will accompany Jesus Christ in the second coming, the return of Christ in the second coming. We often forget this. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, this is one of the things that you're going to be involved in. Revelation 19, verse 6 says, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Lord Knows, Part 2. You know, when the Lord is your salvation, there's nothing to fear. Won't you come to Jesus today? The Lord Knows, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, by the way, did you know that Pastor Jack is on Facebook? Just search for Jack Hibbs, and you'll find all sorts of things, videos, events that Pastor Jack's involved in, commentaries, photos, even a short biography. He also has postings about our biblical worldview and the importance of voting, also up-and-coming Facebook Live episodes, and some of his personal devotions. He even shares videos from his real-life talk show, along with notes from some of his messages that you can go ahead and download. So like, comment, or share along with over 180,000 of his friends. You can get quick access at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, or from the Real Life app. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.